That's right. We're right here this afternoon on WCRS. And one of the things that you have to make a decision on a week from tomorrow is whether to say yes to Greenwood. You probably have heard a lot about it, and there's been a lot of forums and meetings and ads and everything going on. Well, today I've got two people that can tell us all about it. Yes, we've got City Manager Charlie Barineau. How are you doing today, Charlie?
I'm great, Ann.
It's good to have you
good
here.
Good to see you.
That's right. You were, where were you, down in Washington? Where were you at with the pumpkin chunking?
We were having a good time. Right outside of Athens, Georgia.
Athens, yeah.
With a little farm festival there with the kids this weekend. So.
It looked like you were having a good time.
Jumping in corn, it was fun.
It was fun, yeah. It's good, and today is Halloween, so it is really appropriate that I have both of you here.
I almost wore costumes.
Oh, well, I wore mine. And I also have Toby Chappell. He is the county manager. How you doing, Toby?
Doing well, and doing well. Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. So you know what? There's a lot of projects on the table here, 27 projects, about $80 million, and it's an additional penny sales tax on everybody that lives and works and buys stuff here in Greenwood County. And I know a lot of people have questions, why so many projects, and how do we know that all these projects are projects that they've got the dollars right on them? Who wants to tell me about that?
Well, I'll start with and say, I think the 27 projects is representative of the need in the community. We actually opened this process up, and if you look on this list, I had to count them, but I say probably at least half are not city or county related. They came from other organizations mm-hmm. that feel like there are needs in their community, and this is a method to address it. And during this process, we received applications. They were vetted by committees that were specific to economic development, public safety, infrastructure, and others. Mm-hmm. And during that process, a significant number of those projects were rejected because they weren't ready to move into the next phase of the process. So I think the fact that there are 27 projects only is representative of the fact that there are serious needs in Greenwood County.
But I guess, and Charlie, what is the responsibility of government? What is
sure.
the responsibility?
Sure. Well, again, as we talked earlier, I truly believe that at the local level, it's about setting the table for future development, future investment. When companies come to look at our area, they want to see that we have a trained workforce. They want to see that we have water and sewer capacity, that we have safe neighborhoods, that we have businesses that are growing. And to get some of those safe neighborhoods and businesses, they want to see parks and recreation and family activities. And so those are the things that Toby and I are challenged with at the city and the county to make sure that with our partners that we have here in Greenwood.
So, but is that actually a responsibility of government?
Well, again, we clearly see that if we don't do these things, people are not coming. And if Greenwood does not have future investment and future jobs, unfortunately, we will simply dry up. Toby and I have looked at a number of other counties. We visited Sumter County and looked at some of the things that they've done. York County has been very successful with this. And others, and simply put, the counties that are investing in themselves are the counties that are moving forward.
But what about, for the sake of argument of this discussion, what about grants? I mean, look at how much work you have done, in Uptown Greenwood with grants and whatnot.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and I would simply tell you that without the local hospitality tax, which was another tax that council passed, a little over 10 years ago, we would not have secured any of those grants. Grants have become they want to make sure that the local government and the community has skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If the local government, the city, the county, whoever is willing to put invest in themselves, put money on the table, then they can secure grants. And so, you know, without that, you're just not going to get grants.
And do you think that eventually that when if we do something like this, will people that have invested time and money by giving to certain projects and everything, do you think they'll stand back and they'll say, well, there's a sales tax for that. I don't need to open up my wallet and do this, that, and the other.
We've seen some of that. That was a great question that we've witnessed with the art center, the museum, and the theater. There was a lot of concern that if we were to put hospitality tax dollars into the operation of those venues, would then the private dollars dry up because people would say, well, the city is handling their finances. They don't need money. And what we have seen is the opposite of that, because our money has helped them to increase the quality of their shows and their exhibits. They are now securing more private dollars than they ever have before. So in that case, it has worked both ways for us.
That's good to hear. Because is it city or county that the art center, the
museum, theater,
didn't they just get, did y'all approve a huge amount of dollars, $200,000 each or something?
Yeah, we're looking at a new three-year, or they're asking for a new three-year investment. City Council's considering that in their upcoming 2017 budget.
That's a pretty big increase, though, isn't it?
No, it would be the same amount. I mean, practically what they're getting now. Mm-hmm. We have talked with them about pulling back. We infused significant operation money into them, particularly at the height of the recession.
Mm-hmm.
And now we think that we've got to begin stair-stepping that down slowly.
Right.
We think the city has a tremendous role, but beginning to stair-step that down some.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of the things that I have heard about all these projects, some people have said it's kind of like pork here, you know, we're putting something in there for everybody, whether it's, I use the park ones only because I'm more familiar with that, but whether it's the Gray Street Park, the Emma Gaskin, 96, Troy, all these different areas, and a lot of people question, did you do this? I know you didn't do it. But was this done to garner support because somebody can find something for everyone in all these 27 projects that are here?
Well, let me take the parks, because the parks, as I was talking about earlier, is not a city or a county project.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes from the Park Foundation, who their whole role is to create parks, maintain parks,
sure,
have people come to parks.
Sure.
So they've identified these as areas, and most of the ones you've identified are already existing parks. So what we're really talking about is renovating and enhancing existing parks. There are some expansions. There are some new, but the majority are renovating and rehabbing what's already there.
Okay, but as far as the parks, how do we know that they need X amount of dollars for each of the projects that are listed? I mean, how do I know that this is 2.5 or this is 65 or this is whatever? How do we know? I know, like on the fire program and maybe the radios, mm-hmm, you know exactly what the dollars is, and county council, city council has vetted those.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you know on all these other projects?
Well, I mean, look at waterline rehab. Well, we know how many feet, miles of waterline to rehab. We know about what it costs to rehab waterline. So, I mean, you can look at a significant number of these, and the number is pretty easy to determine. Widening of Highway 246, we know what it costs to expand a road mile. So I think the majority of projects that were not ready for this, which is really the answer to your question, is which projects are ready.
Mm-hmm.
They got cut in the first round. They aren't on this list. You know, there were projects that people honestly believed in, but they just weren't in the maturation process ready for this kind of infusion. So I would take issue with us not knowing these numbers. I feel like we do know these numbers, and that was part of the process. That's why we had public safety officials sitting on the public safety committee, so they would have an idea of what a fire truck cost or what the radio system should cost. So I think we feel confident about the numbers, but we're talking about buying capital items 8 years from today. So no one can tell you exactly what the numbers are. No one can.
Right.
We could call Motorola today and say, what will your 800 megahertz radio cost 8 years from today? They couldn't tell us that.
Sure, absolutely.
So there has to be some kind of a forethought and estimation in some of these projects, especially the latter year projects.
Specific to the parks had received a private grant for them to study the expansion. And so the Park Foundation hired a private consultant that specialized in park development and used that private money and developed these budgets and schematics. Mm-hmm. And so they had a schematic drawing for 96 and for Troy, and that consultant put numbers to that schematic, and that's what was submitted to the Parks and Recreation Committee that reviewed these, that ultimately moved it on to the part to the Tax Commission.
Mm-hmm. How do we, though, let's say that this money is here for building these projects, how do we know, how do we pay for the costs once these projects are built? Let's say it gets approved a year down, 2 years down, how do you pay for the maintenance and whatnot on this?
Well, that's why you see a lot of these projects are tied to municipalities, Troy, Wershaw's, 96, or their CPWs in the waterline cases. So they already have O&M factored into their budgets. You know, for the county fire plan, we already have O&M built into ours for the city fire truck. So we've already thought about O&M of how we're going to O&M Piedmont Tech project.
O&M.
Operation and maintenance. Operation and maintenance, So we took that question head on very early in the process.
So the money on it. You will, if this project is done, you will have the money to be able to sustain these year after year.
Yeah, and that was one of the big issues. And that was, in all honesty, one of the determining factors in some of these projects that got cut early was, yes, they had a plan. Yes, maybe they had a vision, but they hadn't taken their vision 5-10 years out. And that was a grave concern for me personally and for many members of the committee. So I think these projects you see, there's an entity there that does operation and maintenance. They have a budget. They're already established. So I think O&M is going to be on these agencies to handle. You know, what I've said from the beginning is this is a vehicle to do some very big things that we couldn't normally do, but it's not the end-all answer. There's an operation and maintenance answer that has to come after that. So I feel like we're ready for that.
Let me just ask you, what happens if this doesn't pass?
I think the progression of Greenwood County and the city of Greenwood is not nearly as fast as it needs to be. I think our workforce is not nearly as skilled as they need to be. I think you see traffic and congestions on some of our roads. I think our quality of life doesn't advance the way it should. I think there are a lot of things that happen in Greenwood County that are negative, and we don't advance nearly as fast as we do using this.
But this is an 8-year program.
Right, but when we build the building doesn't go away in 8 years.
No, but I mean, it is an 8-year program.
Right, but when we build, take the Piedmont Tech, for example, we build that building in the first year, okay? So for the next however long the Piedmont Tech building lasts, I think it's 25, 30 years.
Okay.
There's the ability for a company to come in, say, I need to train your people to do this, and I can put them to work. That's going to work for 25 or 30 years, so that doesn't go away in 8 years. The water lines don't go away in eight years.
My
point is we make the investment, and then we're able to take the benefit for many years down the line.
The need for the Piedmont Tech building, how many businesses does that serve?
Ray Brooks can give you the numbers, and I've seen his numbers before, but they train a lot of people annually, and a lot of them are current businesses that are here, that they don't have the space to train people. So they're moving classes around and shuffling this here and this there. So
well, they have a big training center over in Lawrence.
Yes,
a big
exactly. I'm glad you brought that point up. This is not a model that's new. This is a model that not only other technical colleges have done, Piedmont Tech themselves have done this.
Sure.
This is what they did for ZF Transmission, which is already expanded, has already gone beyond their projected employment and revenue numbers. So this is a vehicle that we can use for prospective businesses and current businesses to help train their employees, which are our citizens.
Exactly. Is this building have a specific purpose, though, as far as being built? Is it for a specific business to begin with?
It is for businesses that are prospective and current. So it's not being built exclusively for any one business.
Okay.
I mean, I think Ray Brooks in his presentations has made clear. I mean, this is for technologies that haven't even been developed yet. I mean,
sure.
We're looking to be prepared for the future.
Sure. I had heard that it partially was being built for the new business that is coming. So that's why I asked that.
I think it's both prospective for businesses and for current businesses.
Okay. All right. So as we look at this, how did we come up with the order of things, though? Because we got the manufacturing first, then we've got the parks. Then we've got the radio, then we go to the Benjamin Mays, then we go to the fire plan. In truth, it would seem we need that fire plan earlier up in here, don't you think?
I think if you ask someone in the fire department, they would say, absolutely. I think if you ask someone in economic development, they would tell you the industrial park should be number one.
Well, I mean, I've heard all of this.
And if you ask Billy Nicholson from the Parks Foundation, he would tell you parks should be number one.
Right, so I think parks is number two on the list.
It's
how many dollars? $5.5 million, is that right? Yes?
Spread out in a few different phases, but
right.
Yes. So I think the problem the committee had was you had all of these people representing very diverse interests.
Right.
Wanting their project to be number one.
Sure.
So I think they had to look kind of big picture, you know, cash flow, cost, impact. I think they had to look at the whole board and try to make the list. And I was in the room and Charlie was in the room and they were working on the list. I think they did a very good job, man, to be honest with you. It was tough. It was a tough job.
Sure.
You know, it's hard to tell firemen, I'm sorry, but you have to wait to, are they fourth, fifth on the list? You know, or tell.
How important is the master fire plan? How important is it?
How important is it to get 99% of all homes covered with fire service?
Yeah.
That's the answer. So.
Well, that sounds like it's pretty darn important, folks.
I think it's very important.
Right.
But I think we talked to
how many years down the road is it going to be before you get to the master fire plan?
We will be at the fire plan at year 1.8.
2 years. 2 years. I mean, that's fair to say.
Right.
2 years.
1.8.
Okay.
So, but again, an economic development professional would argue to you, and an industrial park is just as important because if there's no one here that to pay taxes, well, we can't afford a fire service. So I think some of these arguments can get circular in nature.
I understand.
And I think they all have legitimacy. And I think that was the hard work of the committee, was to take this list and rank them and put them in order. So it was a difficult task, but I think they did a really good job. I think we could quibble over, you know, this one should be third instead of fifth. I think people can quibble. But
a fire plan, though, does bring down other people's costs for their insurance, right?
I wouldn't argue against a fire plan in virtually any context.
Right.
I think it's critically needed. Steve Holmes, our fire coordinator, has done a really good job, him and Derek Kenny, putting this fire plan together. And I think it's comprehensive. And it integrates our volunteers and new equipment and lots of things that we've desperately needed in the county for a long time.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I think we must be right here at South Carolina Radio News. We have been talking, but let's join South Carolina Radio News. We'll be right back. Hey, if you've got a question, you know I'm talking. They're here. Toby Chappell and Charlie Barrinaud right here on WCRS.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. We're right back here. Conversations coming in. Telephones ringing off the hook. 229-7984. This is obviously a topic that people need more information about. And, of course, you know, I must say you guys did a good job of getting out there with forms and everything for everybody and tried to cover all the different bases. I think, do you have one more coming up?
Yeah, I think they're winding down, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'd like to, I think Charlie will agree with me, I'd like to tell Angela LaBorde and her staff, particularly Mike Clary with the Chamber of Commerce, they've done a great job on the marketing part of this.
Yes, we have benefited from that on WCRS right here. Thank you. Yes, yes, absolutely. But I think a lot of people need to know. I think there's one more. Is it coming up this Saturday? Maybe. I don't remember. I don't have the list here in front of me.
I think the forms are done.
Are they done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, where do people go if they have questions about the sales tax? Where do they go on information?
Well, the easiest is yesforgreenwood.com.
Okay.
So that'll have just about anything you'd want to know. I think it has the actual question. It has the ordinances. It has minutes from the committee meetings, shows who all the commissioners were, has a wealth of information. If they'll start there, I think the majority of their questions will get answered. And if not, there's a Facebook post, a Facebook page, that the Chamber staff can answer. Can answer. So I think there's social media venues, there's online venues, I think there's several venues in which they can get this.
Absolutely.
Or they can call your show today.
Or they can call the show today, 229-7984. Absolutely. So as we move forward on some of the things here, some of the things that I know people have been upset about is the fact of the last penny sales tax that was done. And when we did it before, it was for two projects, the library and the dam. And of course, over the years, I think an excellent job has been done to show that we don't need to do as much work on the dam as was initially thought.
Mm-hmm.
So there was money left over than what they're actually, they still haven't done it though yet, have they? Or
well,
are they?
The day is the county, it's
right,
us.
Yes.
And let me walk your listeners through that, Ann, because it's pretty simple on how this process worked. In 2005-06-ish, during that time period, the federal government came to the county and said, you must do two things. One, you must earthquake-proof your earthen dam, not the mechanical dam that we let water out, the earthen dam.
Mm-hmm.
And you must address your fuse plug. Well, the county said, okay, only way we can do this is going to be in the neighborhood of $30 million. Is to pursue the capital project sales tax. So in good faith, the county went after the capital project sales tax in 2006 to acquire $30 million for those two projects, and then the library also, but this conversation only on the dam. So the county simultaneously said, we disagree with the federal government. We feel like you have overreached. What you're asking for is extraneous, is more than we should have to do. So you had two paths going. You had the capital project sales tax path, and you also had the fighting against the federal government path. So once the sales tax was passed, we got a ruling. And we didn't get the ruling just kind of out of the blue. We had to go to Virginia Tech and get one of the national experts on earthquakes to come and say, yes, we agree with you, Greenwood County. What the federal government is asking you to do is unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to convince the FERC that their request was unreasonable. So you had $15 million for the fuse plug, $15 million for the earthen dam.
Right.
So now you've freed up the earthen dam. So that $15 million is no longer needed.
Right.
Okay? So we still have the fuse plug to deal with, and we're addressing that, and I'll get to that in a second. But you no longer have to do the earthen dam because we were able to successfully fight the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the money came from. That's how we paid off the debt, was using money that we did not need to spend. Now, we could have done what was asked of us. We could have improved a dam that we already believe to be adequate.
Right.
But that's silly. Why would we do that?
Right. No, I mean, I remember that. And then, of course, there was the library project, too. Two projects.
Right. So we get to the point of, okay, well, we have this extra money. We don't need it for the earthen dam.
Mm-hmm.
We feel comfortable, we know what the fuse plug will cost. So what can we do? Well, we can't go back 7 years and find every receipt that somebody has from Walmart and give them their 3 cent back that they spent.
Mm-hmm.
So what has the best community value?
Mm-hmm.
And I advocated for, and council agreed, that the best community value of our options, which are limited by the statute, was to pay off debt. And that's what we did.
Sure. And you're one of the few counties, we're one of the few counties mm-hmm. that is debt-free.
Yeah. So do we feel like that was the best use of the option, the very limited options that we had available to us?
Yeah.
So if anyone thinks there was some nefarious plan to increase the amount of the capital project sales tax to use the money outside of it, it's just demonstrably not true.
I think some people just have problem with the fact that, you know, it was a tax, and you know, maybe we could have waited, maybe we couldn't, who knows, but that's water over the dam.
Yeah, but it's pretty easy 10 years later to look back and say,
sure,
well, we should have known somehow magically the federal government was going to agree that they overreached. Yeah. And if that had been the case, well, we would have went for the $15
million. Yeah.
So, but that's the story behind that. There's no secret conspiracy or anything like that. It's pretty open.
So how much money is now sitting there?
$21 million.
And have we got a price on how much it's actually going to cost?
We're getting very close. We're in the design phase. We're in the pre-design phase, technically. We'll meet with the FERC next month, and if they accept our pre-design, we'll go to actual design, and then we'll go to bid, and we'll know for sure what the price is.
What are you thinking that the price will
be? I think it's going to be right in that ballpark. I think it's going to be somewhere in that area.
Now, and has this money been used to pay legal fees and all this time?
Well, we've used it for the consultants, for the designs. Right. And if anyone wants to see, then go to the county's website, look under the treasurer tab, and there's the 2007 capital project sales tax. We'll show you every penny that came in and where every penny went.
Okay. All right. Well, as I said, the 27 projects seems to be an issue for a lot of people. We haven't narrowed it down to like a couple of projects when it was done before. But I think the other thing that people are thinking that I've heard many, many places as I knew that you guys were coming and people have been asking me is that, and I brought this up in the beginning of the show, I'm going to go back to it again. How is it fair that businesses that own property aren't contributing to this by a millage increase, you know, a combination, millage and this? How is it fair?
Well, I would actually argue that you are having a combination because the ad valorem tax is not going away. It's not like we're swapping this sales tax somehow for an ad valorem tax. So the ad valorem tax that on businesses that you brought up still applies. And these businesses, much like your own business, still have to buy things to run your business, so they're paying it.
Well,
so,
except a lot of them probably are tax exempt because they're buying it, whether it's for resale or whatever. So that's...
Yeah, it seems like we're getting way
right.
into the weeds there.
I mean, as far as big businesses being able to contribute that own big pieces of property. I mean, I guess people have brought up.
And those big businesses have lots of employees who go out and buy things from the check that they get from their big business. So I think to say that they're excluded somehow doesn't seem quite right on that.
Hmm. Well, a combination of maybe millage versus the sales tax.
Well, yeah, okay. Let's talk about millage, because here's the problem we're going to have. Our good friend Act 388 comes back into effect, and for that is the cap that is placed on local governments on millage increases. So let's do the math. We think we'll get $9.5 million, give or take a year, through the capital project sales tax. If we took the maximum amount every year for the next 8 years, mm-hmm. you're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000 a year. So at the end of 8 years, you can do very few of these projects. And most of them, you can't even do a project. So that's not really apples to apples to say, why don't we do a millage increase? Well, 388 is going to cap what you could do, and that would be maxing it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this is the vehicle. The capital project sales tax and the millage increase are two things that, yes, they're both increases in both revenue sources,
mm-hmm.
but they're nowhere in the same galaxy of one another.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just asking questions and hoping people are getting the answers that they want out of this. I just keep coming back to all these projects, guys, though. All these projects. There's 27 of them. Some have 60,000, 33,000, 27,000. I mean, some people look at this like you kind of went after everybody to try to make sure that everybody will vote for it.
But again, we didn't solicit these applications.
I know you did. Of course not. You open this up and you say, oh, people, we want to put this out here. You can put in a date. And you saw how long you had to put in for the project and this type of thing.
We said, if you feel like you have a need,
right,
please fill out an application.
Okay.
And somewhere in the neighborhood of 45, give or take, organizations felt like they had a need.
Right.
27 of them made the cut.
Okay.
So, again, to say that, you know, I think the implication is that we somehow went to these people to help.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the fact that it was, that there are so many projects out there. It's just kind of, the things that I have heard, too many projects requiring too much money. Vetting of each of the projects as far as how much it'll cost and how it will be paid for futuristically.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to pick up the tab when it comes to maintenance and keeping it going? Those are the things that I hear. So, I mean, infrastructure, yes, that is something that we have to do to keep current and to keep mm-hmm. other things coming in. But some people are looking at things that aren't really infrastructure, but they'd be nice to have. And that's the question. Where does government draw the line? Charlie, where does government draw the line?
It's a process.
Okay.
We went to Sumter. They were successful. This had a lot to do with the location of Continental Tire in Sumter. And so we fully believe that, again, as Sumter did, they invested in themselves, jobs followed. We believe that when the county invests in themselves through the sales tax, jobs will ultimately follow. It's a model that they've used twice successfully. And, you know, all of us can go back and forth and back and forth. We could debate this for years and years and never get
No, this is your final opportunity right here on WCRS. Next week we vote
never
on
get
it.
Get anything done. So at the end of the day, there has to be a vote. The committees didn't agree on everything. I mean, and they knew. They had to recommend. They made recommendation.
How come they didn't cut it more? Okay, we got 27 projects. How come you didn't say we got to cut it down to 10 or 5 or some such?
Well,
why didn't you go smaller?
There were individuals on these committees that many of them advocated for those applications. After they read it, they may have visited. They may have talked to the director of the application. They had a emotional attachment to that application. They said, I think it needs to be there. And, that's the way it ended up. I mean, that's kind of the way a democracy works. There was a voting process, and it ultimately got recommended to county council. And so now we're asking the voters to come out on November the 8th and make the final decision.
How have you felt the response has been, Toby?
I think the response has been positive. You know, we've done, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 different community events. And it's kind of strange, Ann. Just almost invariably, when these events start, there's one person who's a no way, no how, I'm always going to be against this.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they hear it and hear the logic behind it, they go, that makes sense. That I see that. I understand that. I think this is good for our community. Almost invariably, and that would happen.
How many people have come to the meetings?
I think they've ranged from...
It's varied from one person at a meeting. We've had some with 40 and 50 show up.
So you banged their head down on the counter and said, you like this project, don't you?
You know, I spoke to that person for 20 minutes. We still had the meeting. But, we've done everything that we can to make sure that the voter on November the 8th is well-informed when they make their decision.
Yeah. I mean, we've made the presentation at the State of the County, at City County address, which was several hundred people. So
yeah.
I don't know that you can say what was the number of events. There were 75 of them.
I
think somewhere between one and several hundred.
The chamber thinks that we've touched somewhere around 1,300 people have set through those.
Well, that's what I was asking, how many people were actually at the meeting versus...
The tally that all those meetings, somewhere around 1,300 is what I've heard.
And that doesn't take into account social media and this event, just with you today.
4,000.
Yeah. So you can add that. And then how many have we touched through social media? How many have passed the billboards? How many have passed the signs and, public? So, like Charlie said, I feel good that we've done everything possible to get this out and get the voters informed.
Okay. All right. Well, what else should we talk about as far as this? Are there any other issues that you'd like to bring up that maybe I missed?
Well, I think, out of all of this, and I hope that the listeners are feel, I guess, warm and excited about this, but the fact
warm
that,
and fuzzy?
Yeah, warm and fuzzy. The fact that the city and the county are sitting at the same table, I have heard numerous folks, both the county chairman and our mayor, Welborn Adams, have been very involved in making presentations. I've had folks ask, why is the mayor out in the county advocating for the sales tax? Because this is Greenwood. This is all of us. So it's been good for the relationship of the city and the county for us to be working together on this for the betterment of all of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, everything works better, whether it's the sheriff and the police department working together, whether it's county and city council. They all overlap, don't they?
Yeah,
they absolutely do.
I would say the one point that we haven't talked about is the percentage of this that is paid by people that don't live in Greenwood County. And that number is significant. The number is 40, maybe it's less, maybe it's more. Let's say it's half that. Let's say it's 20. Well, when you start talking about $85 million, 20% coming from people that don't live here is a huge deal.
Well, how much do you figure it'll cost every person who lives here that does live here, though?
Well, and I know that there was a number floated sometime last week of $1,220 per person. Well, to get to that number, you have to take the population of Greenwood and divide that into the $85 million. That's how you get to that number. The problem with that assumes that at no point in the next 8 years will anybody come into Greenwood and spend any amount of money. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that's just not true. That doesn't count the 40,000 people a year that come to the 96 Historic Society, the 163,000 people that came to the summer festivals last year, the 12,000 people that commute into Greenwood every day and work. Certainly we have to agree that these people are spending money while they're here.
Right.
So
maybe some.
You should
see the look on Toby's face right now.
Let's just say it this way. If somehow
yes,
these 12,000 people that come in here every day for the next 8 years
yes,
do not spend a dollar, I would like for them to tell me how to do that.
Okay.
Because I'm going to get my wife on that program. We're going to balance our house budget. Right. If they can somehow not spend any money over an 8-year period while at work, I think that would be a remarkable feat.
Well, in full disclosure, we must say your wife did get a free Opal today.
My wife did, in fact. I spoke to my wife on the way over here, and obviously she is a loyal listener of you, Ann, because she knew to say, when you go see Ann, ask her to say the word Opal.
Right.
And me trying to keep peace in my house, didn't question why.
Right.
So when I came in, I said, Ann, Opal. And
okay,
I received my wife's Opal.
Okay.
So thank you,
Ann. So she did for a treat. That was a treat today right here. In fact, anybody that came in the door today had the opportunity to get a free Opal. So, Charlie, we want to offer you a free Opal.
I was about
Opal
to say,
also.
I'm going to get kicked when I go home. Say the word Opal.
Free Opal, that's right. That was our treat from Sharp Facets here today. Well, this has certainly been an interesting conversation. I hope that maybe you have learned something from what I have been talking about and people have brought up to me.
Yep, debate is good. But again, November the 8th is almost here. We're a week away. And we truly believe, Toby and I have been involved with this now, 14 months on this process.
Sounds like the general election, doesn't it?
Yeah. we need to move Greenwood forward, so we urge a yes vote.
Okay, and Toby?
I agree. I think we have a great community. We have a progressive community. We have things in this community that most our size don't. And the way we do that is by having a history of visionary leaders in our community. And I think at some point in the future, if we don't do this, we're going to look back and say that was a huge missed opportunity. So that's why I'll be voting yes.
That's why you'll be voting yes. And a lot of people need to spend time on the website.
Sure.
Say yes to Greenwood.
Yes.
Yes to yes. Greenwood. Yes, yes to Greenwood.com. Yes, for Greenwood. All right. And, gosh, you know, we've already got plans coming up for next year, right? I mean, we're almost to the end of the year, plans for next year.
Well, we're the county, as far as the county is concerned, we're kind of in a two-event cycle, you know, from January to July, we're writing the budget, and then from July to December, we're doing our annual audit, and then we'll start the budget over again, and we're getting towards the end of our audit cycle, and next few months, we'll be writing the budget again.
How about the roads, Toby?
How about them?
How about those roads? Anything that the county is going to be able to do about those?
Well, we're making our improvements. We're getting money from the CTC, and we're making improvements. The county engineer has a list. She's working through them. Part of the capital project sales tax is expanding 246, which is an issue today and a much bigger issue in the future. So I think this is a way of doing it.
All right. So that's the roads. I don't know if you know this, but I actually was out filling potholes with the SCDOT. Yep.
I did not know that.
Yes, I did that. Yes, yes. I was with Kevin doing potholes. Yes, Gracie. All right. Well, listen, I sure appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us to talk about how we can make plans and how people can understand, because I think everybody does need to understand what is happening. Everybody looks at the costs that it costs them and what our governments and are spending. And I think one of the problems is that there's a lot of distrust of government, quite frankly. I mean, on all levels there is.
Well, that may be true, Anne, but what I'll tell you is I don't know that this process could have been any more transparent. You know, we put the minutes of the meetings, we put who's on these committees out, we put the projects out. I mean,
I understand, but I'm just saying that part of your problem is dealing with the overall, whether it's this government, state government, federal government. This is WCRS right here. Go ahead.
And I think that's, you know, we're getting to kind of a philosophical debate at some level, but I think that's why local government is the best form of government. You know, that's why your city council member, your county council member, you go to church with these people, you see them at the restaurants, you see them at the football games. So if you've got an issue, you can touch these people, you can get to them.
Right.
You can't do that with your federal officials just
about
at all.
Not easy. That's for sure.
I mean, you know, you don't, and not that, you know, you don't see your House and Senate member at the football game, at church, at restaurants. You see your county council member there,
absolutely,
your city council member. So you have an opportunity to say, hey, this issue's coming before you soon. Here's my position on it. So that's why I wouldn't want some distrust of a federal or state government to negatively affect how someone votes on what is a very local issue.
Absolutely. I understand. But I'm saying that is part of the problem with government. You know,
sure.
You say the word government and everybody starts getting a little irate. So that's just part of it. Well, listen, I'll let you say it one more time. What do you want to say, Charlie?
Yesforgreenwood.com.
Okay. And Toby?
On Tuesday, vote yes.
All right. That sounds good. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.